When parking garages sit empty, how do cities repurpose them? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in the U.S., where Google boss Sundar Pichai will soon assume the top job of his parent company, Alphabet, when founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin step down. From Mumbai, the BBC's Suranjana Tiwari explains how Mr. Pichai became the most powerful Indian in business.
For many in India, Sundar Pichai embodies the modern American dream. Born and raised in the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu, he went on to study engineering at the Indian Institute of Technology, one of the country's most respected universities. He then moved to the United States to study at Stanford and the University of Pennsylvania before joining Google in 2004. In his 15 years at Google, Sundar Pichai rose up the ranks and became known for his engineering talents and his general likability. He's widely credited with developing Google Chrome as well as Android systems and generally growing the business in terms of hardware and cloud computing. And while it's a proud moment for Indians, being a powerful CEO of one of the world's biggest technology companies is not all that it seems these days. Companies like Google are facing mounting scrutiny from regulators and politicians over data privacy and political interference. Governments on five continents are demanding better safeguards, an end to what some say is anti-competitive conduct, and more taxes on advertising. In Mumbai, I'm Suranjana Tiwari for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. On that succession news, Alphabet shares are up slightly in pre-market trade as they look to add to yesterday's gains. The British pound is trading above $1.30, its highest level since May against the U.S. dollar and the euro. That's as traders bet on a Conservative Party victory in next week's general election here. European markets are also higher. French stocks are up 1.2%, while Frankfurt's DAX is 1.1% higher. Business activity in Hong Kong slowed at its fastest pace in 21 years last month, according to figures released today. Now, a report by the International Monetary Fund counts the cost of rising trade tensions and ongoing social unrest. I asked the BBC's Su Ping Chan if more pain was on the way for Hong Kong's economy.
Yes and no. So the pro-democracy protests that started this summer have really crippled the economy. It's led to a technical recession. That's two quarters of economic decline. And the IMF expects the economy to shrink by 1.2% overall this year. Things are looking a little bit brighter next year, though. The IMF expects growth of 1%, though that's still weaker than its long-term average.
Now, the IMF has some policy recommendations, though, to balance out those negative risks.
Yeah, so the IMF says that Hong Kong has managed to save for that rainy day and it should start spending that money now. So it's got three recommendations. Number one, it says taxes are already low, so it should concentrate on targeted programs, things like rent subsidies. Number two, it wants Hong Kong to build more houses. Hong Kong has a chronic housing shortage, so this one isn't really a surprise. Number three, it says the unrest in Hong Kong has really dented its reputation as a leading financial centre. So it wants policymakers to focus on things like education and on-the-job training. It says pour money into this, and in the long term, that will pay for itself.
The BBC's Su Ping Chan. Thank you.
No problem.
What's your worst searching for a parking spot story? For me, it was a two-hour hunt for a street-sweeping safe spot in New York one very cold winter night. Well, many authorities think there are better uses for space than parking in cities if we want greener cities with less pollution. The BBC's Dougal Shaw has been exploring some radical uses for parking garages in Paris.
When I walked into an underground car park in La Chapelle in northern Paris, I encountered something I didn't expect. Not a car in sight. Instead, metallic shelves that were sprouting mushrooms. I was in a mushroom farm, but what was it doing underneath the streets of Paris? Théo Champignat is founder of Urban Farmers Cycloponics and runs this farm in Paris.
The underground facilities allowed us to maintain an average temperatures and humidity relatively stable during the whole year.
Their harvest is sold through nearby organic grocery stores. It means urban food is grown and consumed within a short distance. Back above ground, it's clear Paris still does have a lot of cars. But private car ownership has in fact been in steady decline in the last decade here. Carpooling, ride-hailing apps, dockless bikes are all providing different ways to get around the city. And Paris's mayor has made it clear she wants the era of individual car ownership to come to an end. so city authorities have backed schemes like this underground farm. And Paris is not the only city experiencing this subterranean revolution, as Michael Kodransky, US Director of the Institute for Transport and Development Policy, explained to me.
Authorities have been realizing that tackling traffic congestion, pollution, and the climate crisis can happen by updating old parking policies. By regulating parking, cities are able to get to their higher social goals in creating more livable and compact city life with short distances.
Next time you tuck into a mushroom at a city restaurant, just consider, it may have been grown directly beneath your feet under the streets. And if you came by car, that might also be the reason you struggled to find a parking space. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Dougal Shaw for Marketplace.
Finally, Italy is lobbying UNESCO to include its espresso on the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity list. But that coffee in a capsule you might have brewed this morning doesn't count. To be traditional, an Italian espresso must be freshly ground, brewed for between 20 and 27 seconds, and include a creamy foam. If added, Italian espresso would join Egyptian hand puppetry on UNESCO's list. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.